Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk on demand audio.
Joining us now is the chief legal analyst and partner at Hairstyle Fisher and Young, Brad Young, joining us again. Hello, Brad.
Ryan, man, 2 days in a row. I got to tell you, I'm luckier than Bill Clinton on a ladies' night at a bar.
Well, Brad, I got to say, it is nice to happen 2 days in a row. I don't know if this increases your fee, having you on 2 days in a row.
Oh yeah. You know, that enormous Odyssey money? I'm getting my share, pal. I mean, it's not like, hang on a second. It's not like coast to coast money, but it's right. Pretty darn good money.
I mean, you're piling up the Odyssey stock right now, so I think maybe one day you'll be able to cash out all of your different appearances.
Day. Yeah, if I live long enough.
There was a few things I wanted to ask you about, and one of the things that is kind of interesting right now is TikTok as an app. And for a while there, was it going to go? Is it going to stay? Is there going to be a ban? Is it going to be sold? So part of this is having a foreign entity control all of this sensitive data. It's already prohibited on the devices of federal agents. They don't want this stuff in there, mining for information, sensitive government information. So is TikTok going to get banned? And let's say that Donald Trump decides not to enforce the ban. What happens in situations like that?
Well, let me talk about what I think will happen, and then we'll talk about the constitutional issue. It was announced this week that Trump has put together some buyers for TikTok, but the Chinese government won't sell the algorithm. So as I understand it, what's happening, because the algorithm is literally all that's where the money is on this case. And an algorithm, of course, is just a computer program that gets people, primarily kids, addicted to watching TikTok. So including members of my own family, I'll tell you that. But but here what's happening is that there is apparently another TikTok algorithm that's in the process of being put together. And then once that happens, the sale is going to happen. That's just stuff I'm reading online. I don't know how true that is. And I certainly don't know the timeline. Now, here's the constitutional problem. The Constitution specifically tells the president and literally requires the president to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. And in this instance, TikTok is a valid law. It was passed by both houses of the legislature, signed by President Biden. And so at this point, it's Trump's to enforce. And at this point, he's not enforcing it. The law itself allows for a continuation of the ban if there is a pending sale. But as far as I've read in the bill, which I've read, it doesn't allow for unlimited continuances. So right now, I think it's beyond what the statute allows. And that raises the question, should a president be able to selectively enforce the law? We saw that during the Biden administration, where the Biden administration was choosing not to enforce immigration laws. So this isn't a right or a left issue. It's really just a how government should function issue. I complained about it during the Biden administration. I complained about it during the Obama administration. And I think there are valid complaints now, particularly with TikTok, during and under the Trump administration.
Well, where are we going to get our dance videos if TikTok goes away?
Oh, my goodness. I can't tell you how little that means to me. I have an immense vocabulary, but there is no word, Ryan, that can summarize how little, not even a scintilla, do I care about that issue.
Okay. Can I ask you when it's appropriate to plead the fifth? Let's say you're in front of a congressional subcommittee and they're asking you some pretty serious questions. Let's talk about the fifth in general. When can it be used? When can it be used? And when is it inappropriate to use?
Well, it can be used anytime you're being questioned by any government agency. state, federal, local, any place, you can always what's called plead the fifth. You have a constitutional protection against self-incrimination. And we saw that on display with Joe Biden's doctor, where he pled the fifth. Now, I think it's interesting. Not only did he plead the fifth, but at least according to the Babylon Bee, he denies ever even knowing any person named Joe Biden.
Well, it definitely got the attention of a lot of different people in Congress. They just want to get some answers. They're not going to get it that way. Can literally every single person that is called in front of that committee just plead the fifth?
Yes. Now, here's the way you get around it, though. And there's an easy way to get around this issue. And that is that Congress gives you immunity for anything you say. So at that point, then you cannot be under any self-incrimination if you're given immunity. So you say what you're going to say, and you can't be prosecuted for that. So then you have to testify. If once immunity is given and the person still refuses to testify, then that person can be jailed for being in contempt of Congress.
Don't they normally just handle this stuff behind closed doors when a person doesn't want to testify in front of Congress? They say, okay, we'll give you immunity and we'll let you do it behind the curtain.
Yeah, but in this instance, there's a political angle, and that is specifically the Republicans in Congress want the American public to see that the doctor isn't going to roll over and testify. So there's a political angle, and that's why we're seeing this played out publicly.
Got it. All right. Well, that's not going away. I mean, there's still a lot of questions about the health, mental health, physical health of the president of the United States when it comes to Joe Biden. I'm trying to remember. Can you pretty much that committee call anyone to testify? And if they don't do it voluntarily, they can subpoena that person to show up. Is that pretty much how it works?
Yeah, I mean, not just anybody, but there has to be, specifically with regard to Congress, there's a rule and a requirement that Congress can do investigations, and there's certain parameters on what those investigations are. And one of those parameters involves investigations involved with crafting future legislation. And so what the Republicans in Congress can do now is say, well, we're looking at crafting legislation related to determining the mental competency of a president. Therefore, we need to question Joe Biden's physician with regard to his treatment of Joe Biden. And so that's how you get around that angle. Now, there's another part of this, too, and that is, generally speaking, doctors, there's a doctor-patient privilege, and doctors cannot be forced to testify against their patients. In this instance, if immunity is given, and I've even researched this today, you literally have a clash of two rights and privileges here. And I don't know how that would play out in the courts, because if you give the doctor immunity, he can't be sued by his patient for a violation of doctor-patient privilege, can't be sued for HIPAA violation. So I think the doctor could be forced to testify, but I've never seen that played out in the courts before.
Let's talk about this lawsuit. Muhammad Khalil, is that how you say it? Either way.
Well, it's Mahmoud. $20 million. It's Mahmoud Khalil.
Oh, got it. And $20 million claim against the Trump administration for false imprisonment. So I'm guessing we're going to see a lot of this. So let's say ICE agents show up and they take someone that, well, shouldn't have been taken. They hold them in a prison cell for a long period of time. And then they eventually get out with an apology. Probably not, but let's say they get an apology. And then they're pretty upset about that. So how do you foresee something like this playing out?
Well, let's talk about Mahmoud Khalil in particular, and then because it's going to apply to these other situations. And then we also have to take a step back. This is more complicated than it may initially appear, but I'm going to break it down very quickly and very succinctly. And that's this. There's this concept called sovereign immunity. That means the government can't be sued unless the government agrees to be sued. All right. Under old English common law, you couldn't sue the king, because the sovereign immunity means the king can do no wrong, which means the government. Now, the government passed a long time ago something called the Federal Tort Claims Act, which allows people to sue the federal government under specific circumstances. Now, I looked into how this applies to Mahmoud Khalil's situation. And the Federal Tort Claims Act does not waive immunity for claims based upon constitutional violations. It doesn't do that. So that means by just, and this is easy, this is first year law school stuff, that part of his lawsuit will be dismissed, because you cannot sue the government unless the government has consented to be sued, and the government has not consented to be sued in situations of constitutional violations. Also, the Federal Tort Claims Act excludes claims arising from discretionary functions of federal officials. So in this instance, the prosecution of individuals or the deportation of individuals, that's a discretionary function of a federal official. And because it's part of the policy-making apparatus of the Trump administration. So I don't think that's going to be allowed either. And when I looked under false imprisonment or malicious prosecution, which, again, Khalil's alleging, those are only allowed under the Federal Tort Claims Act if the actions were taken without a valid legal basis. So the only thing I can see that Khalil can sue on is false imprisonment or malicious prosecution. The other things are going to be excluded by the judges. Those are going to be dismissed. But this one might move forward. But listen, if the Trump administration can give a valid legal process for the basis of their deportation, even that part of the lawsuit is going to fail.
That's interesting.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Well, there's a lot to keep an eye on when it comes to legal topics. I'm guessing that your phone is constantly dinging with new alerts of interesting legal concepts as they continue to pop up across the country.
It does, but you know, when I got to balance that with a full-time job, it's kind of hard, but you know what? That's just how much Ryan Recker means to me. I sacrifice billable hours to help Ryan Recker's shows be the best they can be.
Yep. I remember one of the first times I interviewed you on KMOX, and I took a wild stab at a wild question, and you didn't hang up on me, and I knew instantly that I was going to like you. Do you remember what that question was?
If I were a tree, what would I be? I mean, I have no idea.
The question was, we were talking about, I think, your house. And you said you had two daughters, and I said, did you have to install two water heaters to keep up with demand of having two daughters fighting for bathroom time? And you answered that, and I think you said, did you have two water heaters? Or there was, you had to get an upgraded industrial-sized one to keep up with it.
Man, you've got a great memory. I did. I said, once my third – I got three girls. I said, once my third daughter was born – I had to upgrade to a 50-gallon water heater or else, right, you know, dad's taking cold showers.
I know. And I thought, okay, you said you had three daughters. I know that that's a lot of bathroom time when they're all fighting for hot water. And then you're at the end with the cold water like Fred Flintstone, and like the brontosaurus trunk comes down. But
exactly,
you didn't like hang up on me, and I knew, oh, I'm going to like this guy.
And it's been a bed of roses ever since.
Yeah, Brad Young, chief legal analyst here, partner at Hairstyle Fisher & Young in St. Louis. Brad, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Ryan. Anytime.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere. 97.1 FM Talk.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.